Okay. We're in this series on the Holy Spirit. I have three scriptures here that I would like to like for us to read, the Isaiah 1, the John 7 1, and the John 14. We have looked at these in the last two of this series, but I want you to pay attention to how the Spirit comes in each of these. So let's just read Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And there are six things in there about the Spirit resting on the Anointed One, who is Jesus. Read with me John 7, 37 to 39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and proclaimed, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, which those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And once again, we've talked about that. And the Spirit. And he's the Anointed One. He's the one who gives the Spirit. Read with me John 14. "These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today, and I ask that you would take what I have got here and prepared, and I ask that you would equip it with your Spirit so it might be a word of understanding and wisdom as we look at the doubts that we have in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus told his disciples that he would pour out his Spirit upon his disciples, the church. He also called the Holy Spirit the Counselor. 4 weeks ago, on the 13th of August, I introduced you to the Holy Spirit as that Counselor. On the 27th, 2 weeks ago, I spoke on the Holy Spirit and how he counsels us concerning our fears in this life. Today, I want to talk to you about concerning how the Holy Spirit comes to us as Counselor and helps us with our doubts. I won't ask for hands. Anybody here have doubts? The Holy Spirit comes and gives us counsel, and he does this through divine wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And the Holy Spirit then gives us the strength to not only overcome the things that torment us, but also to transcend those things as well. The Holy Spirit can penetrate through some of the gravel, the soil, the deep levels of the human psyche and flow through these areas and bring to the surface those things that would in any way block the advance of each of us into full emotional and mental and spiritual health. Now, the Holy Spirit is the divine counselor, a heavenly psychiatrist, if you will. And the area that I want to deal with today is doubt. Do you have doubts? Doubts concerning God or Jesus as the Son of God? Do you have doubts concerning your personal worth? Do you have doubts concerning your future? The Bible speaks about faith a lot more than it speaks about doubt, but it doesn't need to say much about doubt because there is plenty of it around, and we need to find out how to get faith in the midst of our doubts. Now, let me tell you a story about doubt, and this is true. There was a high school boy that came to church around 1980, almost 40 years ago, down in Madisonville, Kentucky, where I was the pastor. He came by himself, and then occasionally his mother would come with him. He graduated from high school, and he went to college. But he continued to come to church, and he even joined the church, and he came during the summer and whenever he was home for the holidays. I found out that his father was a Cumberland Presbyterian pastor in the area, and he worked for the presbytery of that Cumberland area, so he didn't have a church himself. Anyway, between his junior and senior years in college, this young man just as he went to college in September. I'd gone to the back of the church to greet people one Sunday after worship, and this young man almost got away by me before I could say hi, but he didn't, and I greeted him. And he looked at me, and tears welled up in his eyes, and he said, "I'm not going to be with you anymore." And I asked why. He said, "I just don't believe this stuff. I doubt everything that the church stands for. I'm not even sure there is a God, let alone all this Jesus stuff. I like you folks, and you too, Jack, but I don't believe it." And he walked away with tears in his eyes, and I saw in that young man what doubt can do to a person. Now, I actually don't know where this guy is right now, but I was able to, when I was getting ready to do this message today, I kind of checked around, and I kind of found out a little bit about him. But I don't know where he is right now in terms of his life and his faith and what he believes. But his father was a minister, and somehow he had become totally skeptical about anything concerning the Christian faith. And I still think about him, and I pray for him every so often over the years. I guess some of his doubts probably arose in college through courses in philosophy and humanities and things like that. I don't know, but I know that religion can do it to you as well. I have been down those roads myself. Going to seminary in the 70s will test anybody's faith, and it really tested mine. If I could have, I would have told him that the answer to life is really not an intellectual trip. You learn everything you can, and don't be afraid of information. But I know that the Bible says so as well, that the exercise of intellectual pursuit is not going to find God or his way. You can't find him that way. You find him spiritually. Now, in saying that, don't think that I'm anti-intellectual, because I'm not. When you find the Lord spiritually, it's then that you will find that everything about the Lord God and his ways are intellectually sensible, analyzable, systematic, but not necessarily provable by any kind of scientific method. There's a reason for it. You see, we talk about God is love a great deal, but he is also a God of order. And all of you have to do is go look around you, and you're going to see that order. The whole universe is based upon order. Albert Einstein put it very well when he was seeking to discover the theory of relativity, and he says, God is not playing dice with the universe. There is order. I just haven't discovered the keys to that order yet. There is a value to a systematic approach to God, but you don't come to know God by the power of the human mind. God is known through your heart, and there's no way to really define that. That's why we have to come face our doubts on a spiritual level and not just an intellectual level. So today I want to raise doubt up to you, and I want us to begin to let the Holy Spirit speak to us in terms of our souls and about our doubts. As always, we're a very mixed group of people as we come in off the streets, and some of us may not be gripped by doubts right now at all. And so the Holy Spirit may not need to give you counsel in this area. But I am sure that there are some of us present in need of counsel concerning our doubts by the Holy Spirit today. 2 weeks ago, when I talked about fear, I brought a method of entering into the counsel of the Holy Spirit, and it sounds pretty cliche, but it's still the pathway. You do it through prayer, scripture, and meditation. Now, we're going to involve ourselves in that again today, as we did 2 weeks ago, but I want to deepen our understanding of why prayer, scripture, and meditation are important. Now, if you take notes on this stuff, you can write beside prayer, faith, because prayer is actually an exercise in faith. It's talking to God and listening to God. And we don't talk to people or higher beings if we don't believe in them. I mean, I don't talk to Zeus and listen to him. Second, besides scripture, you can write beside that knowledge. And thirdly, beside meditation, you can write wisdom. We take our prayer life and we kind of combine that with our scriptural knowledge and understanding, and we meditate on it so that the Holy Spirit can really talk to us a little and give us some counsel so that we can gain wisdom in the living of these days. So let's begin by praying, and especially let us pray for those who are like this young man I spoke about just a few minutes ago, and those among us and those who will come among us who have doubts about God or the Bible or the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, or doubts that people have and that God will work in their lives. And thirdly, let's ask God to speak to us by his Holy Spirit concerning our doubts. Let's pray. Lord, you know all of us here. You know where we are in our lives right now. You know what's important. You know what we think about. You know our doubts and our faith. You know our fears. You know all about us. And so I bring all of us to you. And I ask that you would move by your Spirit among us. And just give us all your sense of your presence and a sense of what you want to bring to our attention. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a spot in your bulletin. If you want to write down your doubts, I suggest that sometimes it's good to name things. And if you write down your doubts, then you can actually focus on that. So there's a place to write it down if you want to. But you can write them down so that as they are revealed to you, if you want to put your name upon them on this too, you can do that. So let's consider doubt today and what it is and what it does to us. And let's consider our own doubts as we think together. First, doubt can be very creative because it can be the beginning of both an intellectual and spiritual growth in terms of who we are, if we allow the Holy Spirit to give us counsel concerning our doubts. So doubt can be a step of growth, actually, but it must be dealt with correctly. And when doubt is dealt with correctly, it's within the fellowship of God. Let me talk to you, though, about destructive doubt. destructive doubt is doubt where we hold God at arm's length. Now, this is what I know. What we do is we put God out there on the judgment stand, and instead of letting him help us through our doubts, we make him the enemy. Destructive doubt robs us of courage, and it also robs us of any kind of companionship with God. So let me tell you about life and doubts in people like us. I know this. The trials of life wear us down and sap our energy. And because of these trials, people, our environment of home and community and church and our problems, it brings us to points of disappointments and disillusionment and despair. And we become exhausted from just trying to cope with all this. I've dealt with people who have had a lot of stress in their lives and burnout. And basically they've been driven to a point where they can't cope. And we begin to doubt ourselves and God. And if you know what I mean when I'm talking about this, then you've been there. Maybe you're there right now. We begin to doubt everything. And at times like that, the absolute last thing we need is either self-condemnation or judgment from others. we don't need to whip up on ourselves or anybody else doing it either. What we need is usually the last thing we do. we need to bring our doubts to God and allow the Holy Spirit through prayer and scripture and meditation to work through those doubts. When doubts assail us, we need to reject our usual pattern. What we usually do is we try to run our own lives on our own energy and our own understanding, and then that usually leaves us in the ditch someplace. The fact of the matter is that doubt arises from somewhere, and a lot of times it is because of trials in our lives or tragedy or painful experiences that give us a profound distrust of God. When things go wrong, and they do, when we perceive that our prayers haven't been answered, when physical illness or handicap come upon us, when circumstances, situations of life arise that cause us to suffer. You don't have to suffer physically, you know that. You can suffer psychologically, emotionally. When circumstances and situations arise that cause us to suffer, and just generally when life brings us to those conditions of doubt, we blame God. And doubt becomes the attitude of our lives. You see, doubt is intellectual, but it usually comes from a hurting heart. You need to hear that. Doubt is intellectual, but it usually comes from a hurting heart. So I need to say to you that your doubt may be intellectual in nature, but for most of us, it is usually emotional and spiritual before we ever even speak of it in an intellectual way. The bottom line on all this is when life brings us to the condition of doubt, we make God our enemy rather than our friend. So in other words, when we most need God, we are filled with doubt about Him. Let me give you the counsel of the Holy Spirit. The medicine, you might say, for our doubts about God, about ourselves, about our lives. It's the wisdom of the Holy Spirit in counsel. Doubt is a spiritual condition someplace between our problems, disappointments, disillusionments, circumstances, and situations, and the realization of God's power moving in our lives. It's someplace in the middle. Let me say that again. Doubt is a spiritual condition someplace between our problems on the one hand and the experience of God's power moving in our lives on the other hand. And we need wisdom. We need a spirit of wisdom and counsel, a spirit of understanding, knowledge, a spirit of power and might to cure our doubts. And we are promised that in the Holy Spirit. And doubt is a sure sign that we need a deeper experience of who God is through prayer to the Father. We need a deeper experience of what God is ready to teach us through Scripture, but you have to open the book. And we need a deeper experience of how God works in our lives through the Holy Spirit, and especially as counselor. Now, wisdom is the key to overcoming doubt. Wisdom is a gift of the Holy Spirit, but wisdom itself is a resonating power through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And let me show you this spirit of wisdom that we read about in Isaiah 11 here just a few minutes ago and what he does for us. Read with me Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Here we go. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. Notice that it is a spirit of wisdom that shows us about our hope and our inheritance as God's children. And that Spirit is the Holy Spirit proceeding from the Father, who will give us wisdom and revelation concerning Jesus, and faith in terms of eternal things concerning ourselves. It is wisdom that dispels doubt and brings faith. To give you a short definition of wisdom, according to Jack, let me say that I perceive wisdom as the ability, discernment, and understanding to live life the way it is meant to be lived. and to live it victoriously. So where do we get wisdom? We get it through opening up to the counsel of the Holy Spirit through prayer, scripture, and meditation, and not by making him our enemy. Read with me Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The essence of meaning here is that the beginning of true wisdom is giving proper praise to God and a healthy respect for who you're dealing with and being dependent upon God and recognizing God in awe and wonder so that we understand our relationship to our Creator and our Redeemer. Wisdom begins there. Read with me Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Now, that's wisdom, by the way. Have faith. Don't try to figure out all your fears, doubts, turmoil, temptations, past bondage by yourself. Bring it to God. And he said, I will help you get these things straightened out. And he also said, don't get prideful, puffed up, or cocky, that you've got it all figured out. Bring it to me, and I will keep you from ruining your life. And there is wisdom in these verses, and that is the counsel of the Holy Spirit. God our Father is not our enemy. He is our friend. Jesus is the picture of God's personality. And the Holy Spirit is the counsel that has been sent to help us. And we need to bring our doubts to the Holy Spirit. God is not shocked by your doubts. Jesus was not threatened by doubt. God does not run for cover. Some people, I can just see the Father turn to the Son and the Holy Spirit. He brings up some doubt from one of us, comes up to him, and he says, well, I wish they hadn't thought of that. Now I'm in trouble up here as God. We really need to take our doubts to the Lord. They can be intellectual doubts. They can be doubts about any circumstances or situations in our lives. Whatever those doubts are, we need to bring them to the Lord, but we need to bring them to the Holy Spirit as counselor. You know, if you go to see somebody and say, I need some advice here, rather than just taking them to some human counselor, go to God. And we need to come and pray, Holy Spirit, I come to you and I bring these doubts and pray. And then you go to the scripture and you ponder the scriptures. Think upon the majesty and love of God for you. Read with me John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Now, friends, we don't need intellectual answers for every problem, doubt, or fear that comes our way. But we do need the truth. And when we receive and understand truth, then we'll be able to process things both intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually, and give a reason for the hope that is in us, as Paul writes. Let me tie this off with a short personal testimony concerning doubt. There have been times when doubt has disturbed my peace. Now, it has been a long time since I doubted the existence of God, but I have at one point. I was pretty much there. And probably will on occasion doubt his power for my problems and my situation. But I have noticed that more and more the downtime in terms of doubt is shorter because I no longer treat God as my enemy, but as my friend, and I ask for counsel. He has a much better handle on this world than I could ever have. And that becomes an intimate fellowship through the work of the Holy Spirit, that faith and courage and wisdom can come to me. I literally seek counsel. I receive his presence, and then usually what happens fairly significantly in a short period of time, new confidence or a renewed vision or a new hope begins to flow in me. And it's like a river of living water as I receive the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know what you wrote down on your paper, if you wrote anything down, but my prayer is that this is the way we all work through our doubts that come to us. In Andy today, I want to give you a token of faith in the midst of our doubts. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you with our lives, essentially. And since we can't see into the future, and since we can't see always everything that's going on in our lives, and since we can't see what your hand may be doing in our lives, help us to walk with you, to listen to you and your counsel, that we might have faith in the midst of our doubts. In Jesus' name, amen.